And welcome back. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Just like the guests in our last segment, Kathleen Alonso knows something about frustration. At 23, she's working to organize Hispanics in the far southwestern Kansas town of Liberal. A town of 19,000, Liberal is a city run by white people, even though about 60% identify as Hispanic or Latino. Despite her efforts, Democrats in the area were crushed on Election Day, and Kathleen Alonso was, in her own words, pretty distraught. Now she's helped start a free legal clinic for people in her community who need the help. And a hat tip to CJ Janavi at the Kansas Reflector for bringing Kathleen's story to our attention. Kathleen Alonso, nice to have you. Welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You know, I can't imagine what working as a progressive activist in one of the conservative regions of a very conservative state like Kansas, I can't imagine that's very easy. What's it been like for you out there?
Oh, it's been hectic. It's been nerve-wracking. Specifically being a woman of color, being younger, I feel like you kind of just get looked at like the black sheep. And so, but it's been fun, and it's been something that was very much needed in the community. And so you kind of look around and you're waiting for someone to speak out, to stand up for the community, and you don't see that. So I kind of got pushed into that role.
Tell me a little more about the reaction you got as you worked Liberal in the weeks leading up to this last election.
Yeah, so it was my first time organizing, so I really didn't know what to expect. I've always been in the service industry. I've always been around people, so I love that aspect of it. But jumping into it, I guess I didn't realize how much of a challenge it was going to be, and I didn't realize the dynamics of our local leadership and the role that played with politics and the scheme of things here in the community. And so the biggest thing I noticed, specifically lack of representation for the Hispanic community was one. And then also a lot of lack of information to them. There wasn't a big sort of outreach towards them and getting them actively involved. And so just seeing that and seeing the dynamics of it kind of just wanted, kind of helped the efforts of getting out there and educating people and getting people motivated to go out and vote.
Is it fair to say, Kathleen, that maybe you didn't realize just how Republican your part of the state actually is?
Yes, absolutely. I guess, you live in your bubble, you have your peers, your group of people, and a majority of my peers are not very Republican. So I guess I was like, no, there's no, not much of a challenge. We can do a little bit of work and get some done. But after obviously doing the work and then looking at the numbers, I kind of just was taken aback by that.
I was going to say, one of your big focal points out there is you were working to unseat a longtime Republican lawmaker named Bud Estes. He wound up winning re-election to a state Senate seat by 61-31%. And it sounds like you were surprised by the margin.
I was, specifically because of the work we did. We worked really hard. We were doing a lot of outreach, a lot of canvassing. And I didn't see him out. I mean, I don't think he even came down here maybe one time throughout the campaign. So I didn't believe politics was that, I figured you work hard and, you get it done and you get the votes out. But that was not the case. We worked extremely hard and people just didn't show up. We just lacked the numbers on that aspect of the Democrats' votes.
So as you leave this election cycle, are you discouraged? Do you still have hope to try it again and maybe turn things around? Or what's bopping around your head right now?
Yeah, so initially I was a little bit discouraged, like anyone would be. But then I saw other elections across the country. We saw Georgia. we saw Arizona, you know, they flipped their seats. And so just seeing that kind of brings hope that, you know, we have some work to be done, but if we don't do the work, it's not going to change. So it really put things into perspective, obviously, as to how much work actually needs to be done, but definitely filled me with motivation and hope. For sure. Hope that, you know, I do believe we can turn things around. And I feel like ultimately with time, the numbers will be on our side.
Where do you begin to turn things around? What's the first step in that journey, Kathleen?
Number one, I really want to focus on education in regards to the political process, specifically for the Hispanic community. I know a lot of first-time voters had no idea what to expect, weren't really well informed on what would be on the ballot. So I think that would be number one. I feel like if we can focus on the education part of that, people are going to be more confident to go in there and vote and do it confident and empowered. So that's number one. I feel like empowering that Latino community and letting them know that their voice matters. And it's a very loud voice if they just, you know, came out and showed out.
I was going to say, is there a lot of education that you have to do on that front? Is there a belief among many Hispanics and Latinos that maybe their vote doesn't really count that much?
Oh, yeah, that's a tremendous, I mean, so many people I spoke with when I was canvassing were like, I voted and my vote has never counted. And so there's that discouragement. There's also the aspect of being not being politically active. To a lot of Hispanic community members, all they do is work. You know, they focus on their family. They don't really go out and vote and focus about political candidates, stuff like that. So I guess just, and we have the stigma that, you know, you stay in your place and you mind your business if it doesn't affect you. And so I guess just empowering people that they do have a voice, they do have a say, and their vote does matter.
Do you look at the Hispanic population out there as maybe something of a sleeping giant, that if you can find a way to engage them and energize them, that maybe Democratic prospects could be something entirely different?
Oh, absolutely. We are definitely a sleeping giant. And I feel like it's just taking that leadership to get people. They don't have that person to look up to. And, you know, that shows them, hey, you know, your vote does matter. You don't really have that outreach. Up until this year, I feel like there was a huge lack of outreach. And it's quite disappointing, especially because we have such a large Hispanic community, and a lot of the votes will come from our community. And so, definitely.
You know, there was a lot of exit poll information following this election that suggested that Latino men voted for Donald Trump in far larger numbers than anyone expected. Were you surprised by that?
Yes and no. A lot of the issues that I saw throughout this election was a lot of misinformation and either just misleading facts or just blatant out lies. And so I feel like there was that and also fear mongering that exists within the community. And so that is the reason why I want to focus on education, so they can properly make an educated voice when it comes to voting.
Yeah, how many of your Latino voters were one issue voters, in a sense that they were really focused on this fear of losing their jobs out there?
Oh, so many. And I mean, when it comes to Hispanics and the Latino community, they come out here for a better life. They come out to work. So you threaten their jobs and right away they're just like, you know, they don't hear anything else. It's, you know, the livelihood of their family, which is important, but yeah, it's very one issue.
Kathleen Alonso is my guest. She's a liberal activist working out in where? Liberal Kansas. If you want to join our conversation with a question for Kathleen, our number 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. In CJ Janavy's column about you, she described Liberal as a community of about 20,000 people that's run by white people, even though about 60% of residents identify as Hispanic or Latino. You've been talking about this a little bit, but that's going to surprise people that the numbers are so lopsided, and yet white folks still run liberal Kansas.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realize our community was governed by a large majority of white people up until this year when I started going to the city commission meetings, to county meetings, and I looked around and I did not see anyone that looked like me. And so that was obviously a big shock, but that comes to do with the fact that no one is politically active. So a lot of people don't even realize who sits on these boards, who sits on these commissions.
How do your fellow Hispanics feel about that?
They're obviously in disagreement. We as a whole don't feel like we're being adequately represented. But a lot of their beliefs is it's been like this for the last 20, 30 years, you know, it's not going to change. And so there's just that stigma that it's going to continue to be this way because that's the way it's been.
Boy, that's got to be tough for you to hear.
Yes, absolutely. It is, especially since I'm so young. And, you know, I've spoken to people who have been here for as long as I've been alive. And you hear that. And I guess I'm more of the optimistic type. And I guess some people would say I'm not realistic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to have some kind of better outlook for the future. If not, things won't change.
What's the consequence of all of this for Latinos in liberal? I mean, this notion that there is no one who looks like them on the governing board of liberal Kansas. What's the consequence of that?
Consequence is, like I said, lack of representation. There's a lot of issues, deep concerning issues that affect the community. And I think COVID kind of brought that out. You've seen across the country how it's affected marginalized community members. And so I feel like with COVID, it kind of just emphasized that in our community as well, how, you know, our leadership does not, you know, address the concerns that we have. And if we go and acknowledge that we have issues, they'll just kind of shrug it off. And so the consequence is obviously not being heard when it's time to, you know, ask for help, ask for resources.
Can I ask, is that a seat on the city council out there? Is that something you'd be interested in?
I'm not sure if that's something I'm thinking of yet. I would definitely like to run for something. And so obviously you got to start from the bottom. So I'm not sure yet if I'll jump right in. Mm-hmm. But it's something I'm going to consider in the future.
Let's go to some phone calls here. Amanda from Platt Woods. Amanda, you're on Up to Date with Kathleen Alonso. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen. I am so thrilled to find someone else from southwestern Kansas who's like one of four Democrats. Congratulations.
Thank you. How can
I find more of you? How can I help you? It's like my Facebook feed is a constant barrage of misinformation. How can I help you fight this battle?
So I feel like the biggest stigma we have in our area is if you're a Democrat, you're just frowned upon. And so I feel like just going out and saying, hey, I'm a Democrat, I'm proud, and I am in Southwest Kansas. And I feel like that would encourage people to kind of come out more and stand by the movement.
Yeah, I'm from Johnson City, just north of Liberal. So I feel your pain. It's just, and I'm also a COVID survivor. It's congratulations. Thank you for doing all that you're doing.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on and speaking on. It's so awesome to hear encouraging words from other people in surrounding areas.
Amanda, thanks for the phone call. You know, you've not had it easy in your life, Kathleen. Again, I'm reading from C.J. Janovy's column in the Reflector here, but your father died when you were 12. Your mother struggled with addiction and mental illness, and then ICE deported her when you were 16. You've been forced to work since you were 13, but didn't have much support growing up. How much of a struggle has this been for you?
Oh, extremely hard. And you could pinch me right now and I would not even believe I'm speaking to you.
Right, sure.
Very surreal, for sure. But it was extremely hard growing up. And so a lot of my life, obviously outside issues that I had no control of, but a lot of it had to do with politics now where I'm at right now. And so such as my mom being deported, you know, that's politics. And so it affected me firsthand, and feeling the struggle throughout that is what has empowered me to kind of speak up and let people know we are, you know, I'm not just a number. I'm not just a statistic. My family was not a statistic. We're humans. We have real lives. And so just doing that and managing that, it just really empowered me to get out and be a voice.
Now, you worked in the meat packing plants out there. Tell us about some of your jobs, because I know one of them was a little bit on the rough side.
Yes. So I got my first job at the meatpacking plant when I was 17, and I was actually working at a farm. And so I spent my time cleaning manure in the pig stalls, and I was 17. So this was a part-time job in the summer. And at the time, I was so excited. That was the most money I've ever made at my age. And so I was cleaning up manure, and it was the happiest moment of my life. But it kind of just put things into perspective. A lot of, you know, immigrants come here and they work these jobs that most people don't want to work. And so it really instilled a work ethic in me that I'll forever be thankful for.
Now, you graduated a semester early from Liberal High School. And then at that point in your life, you had a decision to make because you had been selected to attend college out in New York City, but you chose not to go. And I'm wondering why not.
Yes. So I actually, during the year that I planned on moving, I actually got pregnant with my daughter. She's now 4. And so like I said, did not have any support. And so the smartest thing for me was obviously to stay here and continue to just eventually go back to school, but just kind of make it through being a mom and that stuff. New York City just probably wouldn't be the best decision at that time.
I was going to say, instead of New York City, you wound up enrolling at Seward County Community College. I think that's out in the Liberal area, right?
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. What did you study?
So I was doing business administration, and I did not finish. I had a dropout due to just a bunch of issues with my daughter and obviously not having that support. And I'm actually enrolling for this next semester, and I'll be going back, and I actually want to do law.
Wow. And in the meantime, if I understand correctly, you've started your own real estate company. Tell us about that.
Yes. Correct. So during the pandemic, I was actually the first of it. I was waitressing. And so obviously my place of work got shut down. And so it was something I had been doing part time, but never really went full on overboard with it. So obviously I was out of work, and I just made the decision to go full time and started up my own real estate company. So I work with investors in the area. I'm also virtual as well. So it's been great. You know, I wouldn't recommend people starting a business in the middle of a pandemic, but it's, you know, if you have to do it, you have to do it. And so it's kind of like that sink or swim.
At some point in the midst of all this, your work caught the attention of a man named Bradley Ambrosier. He's a chief judge in the 26th Judicial District out there. He approached you about starting a free legal clinic. Did that request come completely out of the blue?
Yes. So he actually heard me speak at a forum we were having in regards to discrimination and racism in the community. And so I kind of spoke out. I didn't realize he was in the crowd. And so I obviously went out and just was addressing some issues that we had in the community. And I guess he spoke to me after the meeting. He pulled me aside and he said, "Hey, I really like that story." And he went ahead and reached out to me later on and mentioned the legal clinic. And I mean, it was awesome. It's been awesome. And I hope it's something that continues in the community, and it truly does help people that need it.
I was going to say, the legal clinic, it's actually up and going, right?
Yes, correct. Yes.
What does it do for people out there?
So he had a group of attorneys, and they volunteer. So it's a free legal clinic. So they have different sessions, and obviously with COVID, it has to be by appointment. But they actually give you, so you go in with an issue. Let's say you were working a job, you didn't get paid for it, and you're undocumented. So you could go and see what kind of legal action can be taken and how maybe you could get paid, or what next legal steps you'd need to take.
It sounds like that was something that was badly needed out there.
Absolutely, yes. And a lot of it is lack of resources and lack of information, inclusive to myself. There was a lot of things I wasn't aware of that were in our area that just does not get out to the community as it needs to be.
How many people has the clinic served so far, Kathleen?
Oh, I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you a number. I know they've had two sessions so far, and they have one more coming up, I think before the end of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
And now you want to become a lawyer yourself, it sounds like.
Yes, that is the game plan down the line, and so we'll see how that works.
You know, Kathleen, you're killing me here. I mean, what a story you have to tell. You've made such great progress. You've had some setbacks, and look at what you're doing out there. It's incredible to me.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been hard work, but it's definitely worthwhile.
Well, that's Kathleen Alonso. She's 23 years old. She's attempting to get progressives organized out in the Kansas town of Liberal. It's about 20,000 people out there in the far southwestern corner of the state of Kansas. Kathleen, we're wishing you all the best of luck out there, and I hope you'll come back and visit with us again sometime soon.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Again, that's Kathleen Alonso out there in Liberal, Kansas. Well, I'm Steve Kraske. You've been listening to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. We'll be back tomorrow.